time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Don't do that. We wrote those songs. How about giving us a little bit of money?
And Chad P.
Across the street, I'm a professional.
Underwritten by Home Theater, etc. Class is in.
Sunday afternoon, third time's the charm. This is KSLU Rock School. My name is Joe Burns. Sitting to my immediate right is
Chad P.
Chad P. And he's making a sound like that. I'm giving the secret devil sign, or
you're a Longhorns
fan. Or I'm a Longhorns fan, but mostly it's the secret devil sign.
And why is that?
We're going to do an hour of metal.
Nice.
Today.
Good.
This is one Chad actually suggested earlier on. He said, "Why don't you just do an hour of metal?" And I got to tell you, when somebody suggested, I think, well, let's hurry up and get the show down, and that way I don't have to worry about it. Normally these shows are easy. The songs fall into place. You know, I'm going to do a song about trains, and you know, you just go find, you know, train
songs,
and train kept a rolling and all that kind of stuff. Metal is a son of a gun to pick songs
really?
For.
The metal gave you fits?
No, here's the reason why. Fans who are big into heavy metal have this compass in their head between real and not real. Think Monkees versus Beatles. Real or not real?
Oh, well, Beatles
are
real.
Yeah, the Beatles are real. Okay. Think Poison versus Motley Crue. Which is real?
The Crue.
Yeah. It's this ethereal thing that when you listen to a heavy metal band, you can tell whether it's real, whether the band has this undescribable feeling about them, if you will.
Yeah.
And I started to choose songs, not just because I said, let's go grab 12, you know, headbangers and go off of that. That would have been easy for me to do, but then you'd get into the fight of, you know, why are you playing that? It wouldn't be much rock school.
Right. We need info. Man.
Right. So I went and I picked a lot of songs that were like the first to do this, the first to do that. And the problem is you start to run into some bands that some metalheads are going to listen to and go, hey, that's not metal.
Okay.
So there's going to be a lot of metal in this, but then there's going to be a few tunes that sort of sit on the fringe. I'm just sort of letting people know. So if you hear the first two songs and you go, wow, this is metal, and then Quiet Riot comes in. There's a reason why Quiet Riot is being played.
Right.
Because then you get into the question of where does metal begin? Like, is Van Halen metal? I don't think so.
I'd say no.
Metal has to have specific keys. We're going to talk about this. Specific sort of antisocial thought processes in it.
And such.
Metal is not a stupid man's music. It is normally something that's used to get across political messages. Mm-hmm. You know, Pantera and Megadeth and things like that. They're not just up there screaming, you know, girls love me. That's not the point of it.
Right.
It's to attempt to at least show a mirror to society and say, from our point of view, this is what we believe. So,
all right. Well, let's start this deep thought show.
Yeah, that's what I was going into, attempting to put this metal show together.
What are we kicking off with?
Where did it begin?
Well,
where did metal begin?
There's a VH1 documentary on the history of metal.
I think they said it was Black Sabbath.
Yeah, I think it did.
Well, I think it is too, and they also picked the song Iron Man.
I think
it was one of the places I used to pick these songs, but they chose Iron Man as the number one metal song and said it's where metal began. I don't really buy that. I think it began with either the Black Sabbath song Symptom of the Universe or War Pigs.
Oh.
The problem is neither of them are very listenable.
Yeah, War Pigs is long.
Yeah, but Iron Man, it's listenable.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Here we go. It's Ozzy. It's Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, Bill Ward. I am Iron Man.
And that's not bad.
Thank you. I'm Rock School. Iron
that's
Man.
That's how I want to remember Ozzy, just like that.
With that long, stringy, greasy hair before he got into bad 1980s and then poofed it out to here.
I don't
want
to watch him trying to change a garbage can, garbage bag and falling backwards in a chair.
Don't want that.
No.
Tony Iommi, the guitarist for Black Sabbath, one of the really neat things about him is right before he left his job, I think he was stamping sheet metal.
Yeah.
He cut off the tips of two of his fingers. He was literally leaving to become a professional guitarist, and he cut off the tips of two of his fingers.
He doesn't have them.
No,
are you serious?
Yeah, he uses two sort of rubber-tipped prostheses on top of his fingers. Honest to goodness, get a hold of. There's only about 10 different videos of them playing, and when he starts to play a lead, take a look at it. You can see a definite, little plastic thing laid right on top of that.
No kidding.
Yep. So, as Chad pointed out while this song was playing, we're only going to get to about four songs during this entire hour because something about metal bands, they can't write like 3-minute ditties.
Oh, no.
They have
you
to
won't
go
find
on.
One.
That's right. Well, we play Black Sabbath because it's generally assumed that that's where metal began. Can you, Mr. Chad P., denote for me who is the most financially successful metal band of all time?
Oh, Lord, I would have to say Metallica.
It is, yeah. It's Metallica. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Cliff Burton. Yeah, the bassist who died. Have you ever heard the theory that he didn't die in the bus crash?
Of Black Sabbath?
No, of Metallica. You've heard, did you hear this, that he apparently didn't die? There's a theory that he didn't die in the crash, but when they were picking the bus up, the winch let go, and he died there.
Really?
Yeah, and the band has sort of kept that kind of hush-hush, and I read that on two or three different websites. It may just be conspiracy theory. But,
so that's where Jason Newsted came from?
That's right. Jason Newsted came in because he was formerly with Flotsam and Jetsam, which is a pretty gosh darn good band. But he got the blessing of Burton's family to actually come in. This is from the band's first Elektra release in 1986 on the metal show Master of Puppets on Rock School.
And then 3 days later,
it actually comes to an end. Master of Puppets, there you go. Metallica on Rock School. The first time I saw them, see, they're four-piece.
Yeah.
And they got rid of the guy we're going to play next. He split. And apparently, Mustaine was kicked out of Metallica.
Yeah.
And they brought in this Kirk Hammett guy who's just a speed wizard.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing them for the first time and being stunned at how much guitar work James Hetfield actually played.
Oh, he's a machine.
I took him to be... all I knew him from was their records. And I took him to be the guy who would stand at the microphone, scream, and sort of just play chords.
Yeah.
He's doing, half of those leads. It amazes me how good a musician the man is. And you listen to that. That's 8 minutes of metronome time perfection.
Yeah, man.
And people still take the music of metal and dismiss it as headbanging, and you can't.
Now that was stuff from them back in the day before they were accused of selling out.
Yeah.
When they cut their hair.
That's that question of, is it real? Is it not real? And they lost that.
They lost the
reel.
Edge. Yeah,
yeah,
they lost
to
their
a lot
edge.
Of people. This guy never did cut his hair off. Dave Mustaine. He was ejected from Metallica and started Megadeth. The military term for 1 million deaths. By the way, that's what it actually means. This is Peace Sells, But Who's Buying? The reason I'm playing Megadeth and Dave Mustaine specifically is not because we just played Metallica. I'm playing him because it is normally believed that the concept of thrash metal, excessive speed for the sake of speed, was started with Dave Mustaine.
Okay.
He's a technically proficient player, and since I'm one that plays the guitar, so often you see guitarists have their fingers bent against the string. If you get a chance to watch one of his videos and such, watch Mustaine's left hand. His fingers are always straight.
Straight.
And to a guitarist, that's weird, but his style of playing is so fast that bending the fingers would take too much time. He literally, he hits the fingers with the secondary tip, like the pad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's so fast. Watch his left hand. It's as if his fingers are straight, and it's about the only way he can get that speed.
Hmm.
So thrash metal began with this man, Vic Rattlehead's favorite son, Megadeth. Peace sells, but who's buying on Rock School?
Well, you gotta love that.
Oh, man.
You gotta love a song that lasts 10 to 30 seconds of just, you know, all out to the wall.
Yeah, the speed on the guy's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. His right hand, a guitarist will tell you, left hand speed is one thing, mm-hmm. but if you can't match it with your right hand, it's nothing else. I mean, just the speed out of the guy, the father of thrash metal, that's Megadeth, Dave Mustaine.
That's some rock and double bass drumming going on in there, too.
I'm telling you, people who dismiss metal music as just headbanging, Spinal Tap stuff, they're either listening to the wrong people or they're just being dismissive because they dislike the fact that it's in minor keys, it's dark, and oftentimes the guitars are tuned down a step so you get that nice dunk, 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 dunk when you hit it. You hear that in Enter Sandman,
mm-hmm.
dunk, 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 dunk. That real deep that down in there. It's so easy to dismiss it, but you can't. Here's the first song in our set list that I think a metal fan would point at and go, you're wrong. That's not metal.
Some people probably label them as alternative. I know who we're fixing to play. So
well,
harder side of alternative, and maybe metal, maybe.
No, I think they're metal straight away. The only reason that Alice in Chains were sort of roped in with the grunge scene and the alternative scene is because they came from Seattle.
Well, if you're from Seattle.
Right. Had they been from Detroit, they would have been a heavy metal band straight away because the lyrics, the content, the tuning of the instruments, the feel of the music. You out there may disagree with me, but it's my show. and we got one more song before the stump. I just think these guys are brilliant.
Yeah, they rock.
And mm-hmm. the fact that Staley put a needle in his arm and killed himself drives me nuts. Coincidentally, he died on just about the same date as Kurt Cobain 8 years earlier. So maybe it was planned. You like to think that it wasn't, but maybe it was planned. Let me hear that bass guitar coming in. Listen
I love
that.
This. This
that
is good.
Played with a pick, so it's got that nice scratch to it. Nice. Alice in Chains on Rock School. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff there,
like
Alice
stuff,
in Chains. I absolutely adore that kind of stuff. And it's hard to listen to that and say there isn't at least a strong heavy metal influence.
Well, like
in that.
You said, you know, it came out of Seattle, and everything that comes out of Seattle is branded as either grunge or Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's
only two things come out of Seattle.
That's right. And one of them was Jimi Hendrix.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely love him. I believe if we're not careful, we're at half past, maybe a little afterwards, which
That's
means
okay.
we need to speak about our lovely sponsor. Hit him.
Home Theater Etc. Located in lovely downtown Hammond on the corner of Morris and Mooney. Home Theater Etc. Telephone number 985-340-7777. Specializing in everything that you need for your home theater needs.
And I need things.
Especially the Etc.
Etc., yeah. Let's go to the web.
Keep the emails coming, people. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Or click Contact Us on our Rock School website, which is located on the KSLU website, kslu.org. There is a white chalkboard that says Rock School. Click it.
Yeah. You get to see pictures of Chad and I when we were in Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention.
Yeah.
Even though I'm twice your age, we were in the band at the same time.
We were.
Okay. It's time for the Stump.
That's
and
right.
One of my favorites, a southern heavy metal band with roots right down the road. This is Pantera.
Yeah. Remind me to tell you a cool story about Pantera right after the Stump.
Okay. Shoot.
Halloween is quickly approaching. Yours truly is going into my 9th year working security at the 13th gate. How big of a loser am I?
No, I think it's fine. You got a kid now. You know, my baby needs shoes.
I love it.
In comes the money. Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of haunted houses, Pantera is actually associated with a haunted house right here in New Orleans. Well, I say right here, but right there in New Orleans.
I read about it. I don't know what it's called.
Well, that's the stump. What's the name of the haunted house?
I can't help you. I don't know
the name of the house.
I knew they were involved with that. Phil Anselmo was the... If I'm not mistaken, was the reason they did the work through it.
Yeah, he's one of the founding fathers and owners. There's four owners.
Yeah, and
Anselmo
was one of them. Yeah, I know he's...
Come on, dude.
It's not inside of Jerry's, is it?
No.
That's a club his brother owns.
No. It's down there by the Huey P. Long Bridge.
Whoa. You know, the thing about it is I hear this year after year, and I know I've heard this mentioned 6 or 7 times, but...
Come on, man.
The Katrina.
No, it's called the House of Shock.
House of Shock.
House
I couldn't
shock.
Have come up with it.
The
I couldn't
house.
Have come up with it.
I've been to the House of Shock one time.
Is it good?
It was good. I mean, granted, it's a shock house. It's what it is.
It's not
a haunted house. It's a shock house. They're allowed to touch over at the 13th gate, which, by the way, was voted number 2 in the nation of haunted attractions.
Yay.
If you get a chance this year, Doc, you ought to bring Maxwell down.
I'm not putting my kid into a haunted house. He's 3 years old. You don't think he'll be able to sleep for a week? Dad, make the coffee. I'm up.
Back in the day, it was like 99 or 2000, us as part of the crew of the 13th Gate got to take a trip to the House of Shock.
Yeah.
Okay. VH1 just so happened to be filming some type of video presentation on the House of Shock and Pantera. Guess who was at the House of Shock?
Were you there?
I was there with Pantera. Got to hang out with them, drink beer with them, eat barbecue. And somewhere in my attic in my archived collection of Chad's stuff is a photograph with myself and Vinnie Paul giving the horns.
Excellent. It would have only been better had you been around Dimebag Darrell.
I wish.
Oh, it would have been too bad. Here's Pantera. We'll tell you a little bit more about the sad end of Dimebag Darrell, a member of Pantera. Fantastic guitarist. This is Pantera. Hit it. Cal. Bang your head.
Well, it's a good thing we don't have long hair.
Wow.
Because it'd be everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah. Ugh, the Cowboys from Hell.
Now, why don't we play? Why do we play Pantera as we're doing this show here?
Because
they're great. B, because the lead singer there for a while, Phil Anselmo, is from New Orleans. But furthermore, these guys were commonly known as groove metal. Sort of a post-thrash time. Thrash had its time, and out of it came these brilliant guitarists. But did you notice how you could almost dance to this?
Yeah, it had a rhythm.
Yeah,
it had a rhythm to it.
That's why they call it groove metal.
Doc, would it be appropriate to say that maybe one type of metal begat another type of metal?
Always, because you have these people who enjoy a band, and they'll start a band because of it, but they are their own human beings.
Uh-huh.
You can only play, you know, I love Van Halen, but I can only play so many Van Halen tunes before I want to start playing some of my own.
Uh-huh.
And I don't need to do it anymore. And you start to lay your own thought process over top of it. And
the next thing you know, you got a whole different...
An entirely new run. And if somebody digs it, then somebody listens to you and somebody takes
little,
it. Yeah,
adds their spin to
and
it.
And off it goes.
Excellent.
Here's a story from Pantera that you probably should know. Dimebag Darrell was the lead guitarist. He was a spectacular, as you heard, guitarist. On December 8th, 2004, a guy named Nathan Gale, he's 25 years old.
I remember.
In Columbus, Ohio. He wasn't playing with Pantera. He was playing with Damage Plan, his second band at the time.
With Vinnie Paul.
Right. Guy jumped on stage, pulled out a pistol, yep. and shot Dan Bagdaryl, oh, geez, 4 or 5 times. Killed him.
I think so, yeah.
Killed him right there on the stage. The question is always, because the guy who did the shooting was killed.
Yeah.
The question is always, why did he do it? There's some theories that he believed that Dime Bag Daryl stole his songs. There's also a belief that he was upset that Dime Bag Daryl broke up Pantera. The most believable thought process was that the guy was just nuts.
Yeah.
He had a mental imbalance, and he, for some reason, this larger-than-life character, Dimebag Daryl, he slowly but surely aimed everything at him, and when was time,
yep.
killed him. When Dimebag Daryl was killed, when Dimebag Daryl was buried, Eddie Van Halen gave the eulogy.
Did he?
And at one point in time, he told Eddie Van Halen that his favorite guitar that he'd ever seen was known as the Hummingbird or the Wasp, the black and white Van Halen guitar.
Yeah.
The black and yellow one. And Ed went up, laid the guitar in the thing with Pantera. So one of the original Strattensteins, Van Halen Strattensteins, has been buried.
Classy move.
Yeah, with Dimebag Daryl. Nice. Classy move.
Yonder we go.
Bulls on Parade.
Enough said. Let me play the song.
One of Chad's favorite bands. This is Rage Against the Machine. Once again, very upset at the military-industrial complex. We'll tell you all about it when we get back. It's metal right here. Rock School. Rage Against the Machine on Rock School, Bulls on Parade.
I'm
going
to have to end
heavy.
The show early because I got a headache now.
That's heavy.
Tom Morello.
I would like to, De La Roche is the guy you got to know. Taylor Roche is the lead singer from Rage Against the Machine. That's the voice. That's the guy. I'd like to say to Chad, I almost played the song Killing in the Name of.
Oh, God.
You only have to edit one F word out of this song. If I'd have played the other one, you'd have had it done, 30?
Shoot, 30, I'd have made some good overtime if we'd have played that. You trying to kill me?
Rage Against the Machine. How many times have they broken up and gotten back together?
I think this will be the third.
Third time, sure. Something like that?
Headlining this year's Voodoo Music Experience in New Orleans.
I still remember all the stink they made after 1996 when they were on Saturday Night Live. They came out and played Bulls on Parade.
Yeah.
They were told they couldn't perform their second song.
Why?
Because, Steve Forbes was running for president at the time, and he was the host of the thing.
Oh, gosh.
They were going to take their amplifiers and put American flags on them, but they were going to hang them upside down.
Just don't care.
That they don't care. I think they have an agenda and they're going to pitch it. And if that means they get into trouble by pitching it,
that's what I mean.
Yeah. They don't care about what the
they don't care.
The
they're
going
to say what they're going to say, and whatever the consequences are. Hey, we've got a message to send.
Hey, if you're willing to take those consequences, then my opinion is you say whatever you want to say. Is there such a thing as alternative metal? Well, I don't know.
Maybe, I used to think so.
Public Enemy and Anthrax.
Well, I used to dub Alice in Chains as that. Alternative metal.
See, I think
almost.
They're a straight metal band.
Well,
I just think, yeah. But there is one band. This is, and I think if you want to be, in my opinion, they're the only band in this entire category of alternative metal, and they had about a hit and a half. And the thing is, as good as the song is, you know what anybody ever remembers about it?
What?
That fish flopping out of water at the end of it. This is Faith No More.
Nice.
When you're singing, wear boxing gloves. This is epic on Rock School.
Chad, would you like some tea?
See, I like this song. But I'm jumping around the room, and then all of a sudden I find myself swaying back and forth to this piano.
It really is out there. You have this classical-influenced piano, you have this heavy guitar, and you have this man sort of sing-rapping. There's a reason why it's called alternative metal.
Yep.
Folks, we've come to the end of our metal show. Did we do it? Did we do okay? Those of you who are metal fans, did we touch enough of it?
Let's go 2 hours.
No, I'd like to. I really would. Let me tell you some of the other metal bands.
Honorable mentions.
Right, that we call them also-rans. They didn't get played. Skid Row, we were going to play Monkey Business. The reason we were going to play Skid Row is because theirs was the first metal album to debut at number one.
Okay.
Ronnie James Dio, we didn't get around to playing. Rainbow in the Dark. Ronnie James Dio is generally regarded as the man who put keyboards into metal.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I forgot to mention that. The boss really wanted Dio in the set list.
Well, we're going to blame you. It's not your fault, but I'm going to blame you.
Whatever.
Judas Priest.
Uh-huh.
Judas Priest was generally the first pop metal band.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? Except we were going to play Balls to the Wall. Do you know who the lead singer of Except is?
I forgot his name, but I know he's like, what, 2 foot tall?
Well, he's about 4 foot tall. He's the littlest rocker, Udo Dirkschneider.
I can't remember that name.
Mental Health, we were going to play that by Quiet Riot. Now, that's another thing. Some people might say, well, why in the world would you play Quiet Riot?
Because
they're the first heavy metal band to make it to number one, be they true heavy metal or not. Come on, Feel the Noise got to number one.
There's a reason these songs make our set list. We don't just go in there and say, I like this one, I like this one.
That's
Let's
true.
Play that. That's not what we do.
Until I do my Van Halen show, then it's all what I like, and the rest of you can just sit and listen.
And
Korn, Freak on a Leash. They're what's part of the new metal movement.
Tell you what. Oh, man.
Good stuff.
You don't find many people with Korn that straddle the fence. I like them, I kind of don't like them. You
either
are a massive Korn fan, or you don't like them.
I hate to say where I land on this. I'm on the opposite side. I've never understood, and I've listened to Freak on a Leash. I kind of like the new one,
Evolution.
They've never done much for me. And I remember you saying something like, you got to listen to this band, Korn, and you had also turned me on to Rage Against the Machine, and I thought, well, if he was right about this, he's got to be right about, and it just didn't do much for me, and I don't know why.
I'm like the exception to the rule, because I don't love and worship Korn, but I can take them on certain days and certain other days. I'm like, turn it off.
Also, Twisted Sister.
Yeah,
we didn't play Twisted Sister. Why would we play Twisted Sister? The reason is they were the only metal band to stand up to the PMRC and tell them, no, we are artists and you don't get to basically censor us.
Well, with such a rocking show sponsored by Home Theater, etc.
What are we ending with?
We got to end on a high note, huh?
Well, we're going to end with the, and this is the only reason this song caught my eye.
What?
What was the number one song the day the September 11th attacks occurred? Do you know?
No.
System of a Down's Chop Suey.
Oh, I know why.
Why was it not number one the next week?
Because the lead singer is of Middle Eastern
Armenian descent.
Yeah.
Then, and Clear Channel, the number one owner of radio stations in the United States, banned it.
I remember that. And this song is
great.
Unbelievable. I'm so glad we're playing it. But I remember you had mentioned that because I was in your class and we had talked about that. And I really hope that it doesn't hurt him just because he's of that descent.
Oh, yeah. The singers, well, they're all of Armenian descent. But Clear Channel Communications said they took it off the air because it had the line that angels deserve to die. But a lot of people think it was taken off because of Armenian descent. This is a song that went to number one, strong as anything. And the next week was not to be found.
Put away all glass items in your house.
That's right. Keep your hands inside the car until the ride has come to a complete stop. That's going to do it. We're going to play one more tune, and it is Chop Suey, System of a Down. My name is Joe Burns. Who are you?
Chad P.
Thanks for listening, folks. Class is dismissed.